we started last week looking at the whole thing and finishing the series on Love Is and beginning to look at giving. And we're going to continue that this morning. And I want to tell you, yesterday, Matt took the kids out and they went to Tesco Mother's Day shopping. And like just said to the kids, you know, we can buy mum whatever, you know, whatever. And so they went and chose some flowers and stuff like that. So I was sat on the sofa when they came home and they says, right, mummy, close your eyes and hold out your hands. And they would bring in one at a time the things. They got me croissants for my breakfast and all of that kind of thing. And they would bring in. And then all of a sudden Oliver came and he says, hold out your hands and close your eyes. And I did. And he put this thing in my hand. I opened my eyes and they bought me a box of Cocodamol. So I'm not quite sure what that says about this afternoon and what they're going to be up to, but I, you know, could be in for a headache. But this morning, I want to talk to us a little bit about giving and about the ways that we can give. I want to tell you three stories about one person in my life. And he's my cousin and his name is Alan. And he lives in America now. I've not seen him probably for about 15 or so years. But when I was growing up, he was very influential in my life. And when I was 16, I went on mission and came back absolutely full of it. And when I was on mission, I was working with a guy called Trevor Sampson, who is from South Africa, and he's a singer. And we were doing all stuff out on the streets of Liverpool, and there was him and a lady called Katie, and we were kind of, you know, doing mission work and all of that kind of stuff, and it was brilliant. And then I was chatting to Katie halfway through the second week, and she just said to me, she said, Joe, you've got a great voice, but it needs training. And if you don't get it trained, it will never be what it could be. And so she said, well, what I would suggest to you, and she was praying over me and speaking into my life. And she says, I would suggest that you go home and you get yourself some singing lessons. And you know, like parents, when your kids come home from somewhere and they've been told something and they just jump straight on and say, and you have to do this for me. Anyone's kids do that? Yeah. Okay. I decided not to be that kid. Okay. So I went home and I said, okay, God, if this is a word from you, you need to come and you need to provide this for me. Cause I don't want to run to my mum and dad and say that they have to do it. Cause I know that they would have done, but I know that they would have struggled to do that. And so this was at the end of August, and in September, it's my birthday. Just reminding everyone there. But in September, it's my birthday. And my cousin and his wife, Corinne, came to see me. And they said, Joe, we've been praying. And like he'd never bought me a birthday present before, ever, in my life. He says, and we just want to give you this for your birthday. And I opened up, they got me a card. And you kind of do that shaking thing. I opened it up, they got me a card. I opened the card and they put me a note inside the card. And they said, we've been praying for you over the last few months. And God spoke to us. And we have booked you 12 months worth of singing lessons. Amazing. We've got this friend of ours who we know, and she's starting up a singing business. Okay. And so we've booked you in with her. And so they booked me in with her. And this lady has just become one of the greatest cheerleaders of my life. In fact, when Matt and I were trying for children, we'd kind of come to the end of the IVF cycle and decided that was it. We weren't doing it anymore. And a couple of months after we decided that, we got a letter from my singing teacher saying, if you would like to do another round of IVF, I want to offer to pay for it for you. I mean, this woman has just become an incredible woman in my life, and it was great, and it was because my cousin and his wife prayed for me and then gave to me. The second thing, story about the same guy, when I was growing up in youth, I knew that I had a gift on my life to speak, and I didn't quite know how to kind of do that, and my cousin's a great preacher. And he used to teach me like how to do stuff. And probably the first person that saw that gift in my life was my cousin. And so like I would go and see him and he would teach me. And this is how I get a preach together, Joe. And this is what I do. And when he was doing stuff in youth, he would give me opportunity. And he was just a great, absolutely phenomenal influence over my world. And then the third thing that they did, they moved away when I was probably in my mid-teens. And he got married and he went to a Bible college and moved down to London. And every so often they would phone me and say, do you fancy a weekend away? And I'd get on a bus and I'd go down to London and they'd meet me at the other side and I'd spend a weekend with them. You see, I want to talk to us this morning about giving, but I don't just want to talk to us about one way of giving. I had one person who gave in very specific ways in my life, but they were all very different. You see, he gave, yeah, they gave financially to me. They paid for the singing lessons. He gave out of his talent of how he preached and all of that. And they gave their time. They did everything that they could to give to me. And actually, I am probably where I am today, largely due to him. I was thinking about the other day and I thought he had such a profound impact on my life as I was growing up. And I want to talk to us this morning about there is more than one way to give. But I also want to talk to us that it's not about just giving in one way. It's about giving in many ways. And I want to read to us from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And it says this. It says, so now, beloved ones, I'm reading from the Passion, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. In the NIV version, it says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want to talk to us today about the way that we work for God. In whatever aspect we do that, how we work for God, and about not giving up. The word work in that the NIV uses instead of the word serving that the Passion uses, the word work means this. This is what the original text means. It means reducing strength, pain, or weariness. So if we look at this verse in Corinthians in the NIV version, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourself fully, even when it's reducing strength. Always give yourself fully, even when there's pain in it or there's weariness in it. You know, I want to talk to us this morning about let's not be people that give up. Let's not be people that walk away, but let's be people that press on and give again. The Apostle Paul here wasn't just speaking of the physical weariness of work, but also the emotional and the spiritual effects on us when we work for Jesus. And I just want to blow one myth out of the water, okay? I don't work for Jesus and math works secularly. Okay? That's not how it works, people. It's not like, you know, the people who work in church, they're the ones working for Jesus. Wherever you go tomorrow morning, you're an ambassador of Christ in that place. Do you know what? I come into an empty office and I sit there on my own on a Monday morning usually. Wherever you go, you're an ambassador. You are in the ministry. God calls us all to be in the ministry. It's not the people who lead church are in the ministry and the rest of you work for the world. That's not how it happens. That's not how it works. We need people in every sphere of life, okay, to bring the light of Christ into those places. It's not me that works for God and math works for Tolbar. His paycheck may say Tolbar, but actually he works for him. And the influence that he brings to young people that come across his path on a daily basis is incredible. I'm so proud of what he achieves in that place. And sometimes the work may be hard, but I'm telling you this, it will always be worth it. Sometimes giving will be hard, but it will always be worth it. And I was thinking when I was doing this, you know, sometimes we can think of giving as like a tick box thing. And as long as we tick one of the boxes, we're okay. But I want to bring a challenge to us this morning that it's not an either or. It's an and. And we're going to look at three ways of giving this morning, the three main ways that I think we can give financially, with our time, and with our talent. And I want to say to you this morning, it's not an either or. It's an and between those three words. Because actually God wants us to give in every way. He wants us to stand firm and not let anything move us and not shrink back when it comes to giving. We will all know the area that with the three areas that I've just read out that you shrink back from. But I want to put it to you this morning that actually it's not an either or. It's not tick one of the boxes and think we're doing okay. Actually, God asked for this from all of us. He asked for a bit of all of it from us. And I want to go with that this morning. So three main ways of giving financially, time and talent. So number one, we give financially. Okay, 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says this, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Do you know what this morning? God gives to us so we can bless someone else. He doesn't just give to us so that we can look after us. God gives to us so that we can bless someone else, so that we can be a channel for him to use in the community in which we live. I want to at this point thank you guys, because this church gives really well. There are people sat in here that give that sacrificially give. And I'm not talking about an amount there. I'm talking about we sacrificially give. You know, we give into the work of God here. But I want to just kind of bring some light on this whole thing of giving. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, in the message always sounds harsher than any other version of the Bible, but I love it. Okay, it says this, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. Get this, that will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. If you have children in our mini neon or neon Sundays this morning, we're going to be teaching them about giving. And they're going to come out of kids this morning with three pots. And one pot is going to be like when they're given their pocket money, whatever, they can save some, they can spend some, and they can give some. They're going to get three pots. We're going to be teaching them about saving, spending, and giving. I think it's great to teach our kids those things when they are little. And we're going to be teaching. So when they come out with the pots this morning, that's what they're all about. One pot is to spend for spending money. One pot is for saving money. And one pot is for giving money. Do you know what? When giving first began in the Bible, it had nothing to do with law. Nothing at all. When Abraham first gave a tenth of what he had to God, it was done out of worship. We've turned giving into a law thing and into a thing that ties us up and traps us and binds us up. But actually, our giving, our tithe, our 10%, if you like, it's all to do with worship and has got nothing to do with a to-do list. Has got nothing to do with rules and regulations. It's our worship to him. Yeah. Abraham brought gladly. I love that line in that verse in Corinthians. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. The NIV puts it this way. God loves a cheerful giver. This is not a, you know, twist your arm up your back and you know, wave a big stick at you until you give. It's nothing like that. Giving is about your relationship with him. That's what it's about. That's what the Bible tells us it's about. And because this began before the law, it's not something that grace cancels out with what Jesus did on the cross. You know, all the laws that were given in the Old Testament when Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to come every Sunday morning now and bring an animal to sacrifice at the front of church and all of that. We don't have to do all of that stuff because Jesus canceled that out. But this has nothing to do with law. It has to do with worship and it has to do with relationship. And so what Jesus did on the cross doesn't do away with what Abraham did before the law was given. Do you know what? There are so many stories about the blessing of giving, but our motivation has to be a love for God, not what we'll get because of it. And we have got an opportunity. I said I'm going to have some things for you to get involved with this morning. We have got an opportunity for us to, as a church, to give into the lives of someone that we will probably never meet, but we will have a chance to influence with them with the love of God. And I'm just asking Elaine to come. And she's just going to pitch this for us because she's going to run this project for us. And she's just going to pitch it for us. If you have any questions, don't come to me. Okay, Elaine is the woman to go to.
If Susie was here this morning, it would be Susie. So, but it's me. I'm standing here as part of Churches for Refugees, which is supported by Churches Together in Louth and District, which we are a part of. And as a family church, we are going to support a Syrian refugee family. And we are going to have a box full of things that this family will need, from blankets, cushions, toothbrushes, toothpastes, whatever. And we will be sending it out with other boxes from the churches within Louth. I think there were about 20 have already been made up. And we are going to send those out. Now, I'm going to be downstairs afterwards. Oh, sorry, I hate public speaking. Yeah, can you hear me shaking?
You're doing great.
I'm going to be downstairs in the foyer after the meeting is finished. And I've got a box down there full of things that a church has already made up. In that box will be things that people think they should have put in, and they are going to be stopped at customs. So it's imperative that when you buy something, it is exactly what we ask you to buy. There are some things that are not allowed into Syria. We must have labels on things. So, you know, if you're doing a good deed and you buy and you've got something wonderful you want to give, it may actually be stopped and that box won't be complete. Downstairs, you can ask me any questions. I've got I've got a shopping list of all the items that we need. So you can tick off something. If you can just afford a toothbrush, that's all you need to buy. If you can afford to buy a pair of pyjamas, you can buy a pair of pyjamas. We will give you a little reminder, a little slip to remind you that what you are going to buy this. And if you don't buy it, it's not going to go in the box and the box won't be complete. And you'll be chased up on it. It may be, maybe you would like to take a box and take it into your community. It could be a work community, and you would like to do that as a community of people. It may be your connect group. It may be your workplace. It may be you have a large family and you would like to do one with your family. I have the boxes downstairs, some boxes, and if you need another box, I will deliver that personally to your house. So you can't get away with that. And I will even collect your boxes from you, so you will have no problem with transport. So see me downstairs afterwards, and please, please support this project. It's very important. We are so blessed as a family, you know, here in this church, and we have more than we need. You know, we have things that we want. These people just need the very, very basics. And it's a wonderful way to show our love towards people that we don't know them, but we have, like Joe said, such an influence on their life. So just keep it in mind. I will be down at the bottom of the stairs, so you won't be able to ignore me. Okay.
Love it. So we have a way to give, okay? So it's not all just about what you put in the offering basket on a Sunday morning or via standing order into the church house, but we have ways to give, you see, because a lot of the time we just give into need, but God actually wants us first to give out of a love for him. Not just out of a need for others. We have just brought you a need, but God actually wants us to give it out of a love for him, not just a need of others. And you know, I want to throw this one out there, that our offering goes to need, but our tithe goes to God. So we give to God and then we give to others. And that's what God blesses us for. That's what he gives to us for, because actually he knows when you can be a channel for him to work through. So I want to bring that challenge to us, that actually our giving begins with our love for him. Begins with our love for him, and we give to him. And I know that we put it into a plate that says Generations Church on it, but we give to him as we do that. And then we give to others after that. So one way that we can give is financially. The second way that we can give, and I actually think this is a harder way to give, is with the gift of our time. This is probably one of the biggest ways to give. You know, my cousin paid for my singing lessons, but actually, what made me who I am today is the time that he took with me. And he would sit down and have a coffee with me, or he would take me out, or he taught me how to swim. And as he was doing that, he was talking to me and building relationally with me. And, you know, he was just incredible in my life. And you will all have those people in your lives who gave you their time. You know, we said last week that poverty was more than financial. And I message you to say that we're going to be talking about some ways that we can give. And I want to remind some of us who have been around a long time of a project we used to have called Beautiful She. And Beautiful She came out of a prayer week. And it was our program that was for parents who were under the age of 24. And I want to talk to you about one of the girls who was in our Beautiful She program. And it was a girl that I was majorly involved with. She had three children. And in the end, I only had one of them living with her. And but we met her and we started going down, you know, doing journey and doing life with her. And she was pregnant with her third child. And she gave birth to her third child, a little boy. And one of the hardest days of my ministry life was when I had to go. He was less than 24 hours old. And I went and I visited them in hospital and had my cuddle with him. And then social services turned up and we took him over to where he was going to be staying because he was going to go straight into foster care from the hospital. He wasn't going to come home with mum. He was going to foster care. And so I was privileged actually and honored to be involved in that process. And I drove out to where the foster carer was and we went in and we had a cup of tea and everyone's just clock watching because we knew that in 15 minutes or whatever, we were going to have to come away. And my job that day was to bring mum back to Louth and back to her house. I tell you something, where he was in a foster care in Huttoft. It was the longest 45 minutes of my life. And we were coming back and there would be waves of emotion that came over this young girl. And then we met a few days later and we were talking through how contact was going to happen between mum and her baby. And we again had the amazing privilege of being chosen when a baby is in foster care and has contact with mum, there is always a safe place that they use to have that contact happening. And usually there's a member of social services there because it's supervised contact. And they turned around to me and said, could we use your group as contact? Could we use your building as contact? And will you be the person in charge of that contact? So she got to have supervised contact with her little boy, with social services not even in the room. I was allowed to be in the room, and it was incredible. And so on a Tuesday and on a Friday, this little boy would come and kind of our program would go on. But my main thing was to make sure he was all right and mum was all right and she was feeding him okay. And just, you know, and over the next 3 to 6 months, this happened every single week. He would come into our building and we would, you know, kind of make sure supervision went okay. And at the end of 6 months, they decided actually it's okay for him to come home. And for the next few years, there were still people involved. There were still meetings. But in the next few years, she began to come to church and became a Christian. And Matt and I had the privilege of being this little boy's godparents. And it was just amazing just to watch some of that transformation. And then she left Louth. And I totally lost contact. And she'd been gone about 2 years. And all of a sudden, a ping went on my phone, and I looked, and it was on Messenger, and just this girl had contacted me and said, just want you to know, I was listening to your podcast from last Sunday, and I listen to it nearly every week. And I know I'm not in Laos anymore, but I found a church, and I'm going to church, and I've found my birth family, and I'm just, you know, I'm getting to know them, and it's great. And she was saying that her little boy is doing really well, and some of the fear that we had over his learning ability and all that had all been ironed out, and he was in, you know, mainstream school, and he was doing great, and he was growing, and she sent me a picture, and she said, I just want to say thank you. Because if it wasn't for Beautiful She, I don't know where I'd be today. And about 3 weeks ago, Kate Kent was over preaching and she prophesied over me and over this house. And this is what she said. She said, Joe, she said, I just get this phrase, formidable partnerships. And over the next few months, there's going to be formidable partnerships being forged that is going to give you a foot into local council and a foot into the different things that make community work. Little did Kate know, And I want to share this project with you that we're going to be getting involved in. Little did Kate know that the next morning in my diary, I was scheduled to meet a man called Dale Newman. I have never met him before in my life. And it was in my diary. I was meeting with him. And he works for a project, for a charity called Safe Families for Children. And so, you know, I kind of was like, okay, I receive this word, Lord. I kind of know where some of it's going. And you see, he works for Safe Families for Children, and there is a Safe Families for Children office in Nottingham. And my good friend Mark and Tamsin Ritchie are involved in that. And so I went 2.5 years ago, Joe and I went to a meeting about safe families. And just something struck a chord in me. And I wanted to get involved straight away, but they were not rolling it out in Lincolnshire. And all of a sudden, they are now. And so this guy, you know, Dale, said to my friend, he's on the phone to Tamsin, and not quite sure why he was on the phone to her, other than the fact that it was a God moment. And he said, I need to find some people in smaller towns in Lincolnshire. She was like, I have got the perfect person for you. And so gave him my number. And literally the day after Kate prophesied those things over our church, over my life, an inroad back into Lincolnshire County Council. The last inroad we had was Beautiful She. And because of the way that the government was working, they stopped sending girls to us. Okay, and it was a government initiative, nothing to do with anything we did wrong. It was just they sent them elsewhere and they wouldn't signpost them to here. And, you know, so we lost out on that. And I've been praying ever since that actually, God, can you make an inroad in again? We need to get in with our health department and all that kind of stuff. We need to be back in those doors. And 2.5 years after God spoke to me about this, I've just kept it on the low, kept it in my heart. We're going to be partnering with Safe Families for Children UK. And all it's going to take is giving our time. You see, the girl in Beautiful She, I gave hours and hours. It was time consuming. And she would phone me at times when I didn't want to be phoned. And if I would see it was her name, I would always pick it up. And she would, you know, and it might be, Joe, I just need someone to talk to her. It might be, you know, my little boy's hurt himself. Can you take us to the hospital? Or it might be he's poorly and I don't know what to do. And we would get involved. And as a whole team in Beautiful She, we stood by the one and we gave time to the one. And that's what it's all about. We can give with our time. And Dale is coming on the 15th of April. And he is going to be talking to you and hopefully inspiring you about Safe Families UK and the way that you can get involved. But there's some info at the back. You know, let's be people that give of our time. It's not enough to tick the money box and to leave off the time box. It's not an either or, it's an and. It's an and. God wants us to give, yes, financially, but and with our time, and give with our time. And some of you give in your workplace with your time. It's not all about giving to the church with your time. It's about using your time for the things that God wants you to do. And so we give with our time. So I want to, you know, if something I said has kind of pricked your ears, why not pick up something? Dale is coming on April the 15th, and he is going to be inspiring us to get involved in this amazing project. And because the thing is that this only happens through local council. So it's not just the church doing their own thing. It is rolled out. Local council have asked for this. And the main way that they get their volunteers is through churches like ours. You don't have to be in a church or a Christian to volunteer, but the main place that they get their volunteers from is local church. And it opens up the local council door. And it opens up things that were once shut to us. And all it's going to take is some of us giving our time or giving our resource. But I'm not going to tell you everything, because then there's no point Dale coming, is there? So he's going to come and tell us how we can get involved. One of the greatest ways we can give to God and to our community is with our time, which is something that some of us have very little of, but the challenge is still there with how we use it. The challenge is still there with, are we willing to give God what we have? Do you know, I was challenged this week that Jesus used his journeys. When he was walking, he talked to people about the kingdom of God. He used the meal times. He was even awoken from sleep to calm the storm that was going on around him. He gave every moment that he had to his Father. That's why ministry doesn't just happen in a church. It happens when you go to work tomorrow morning. It happens in every sphere of influence that you have. When we put time into our communities, it will not be in vain, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, but it will be fruitful and it will give us fruit that will last. When I got that message from that young woman that was in Beautiful She that said, I go to church, Joe. I found a church where I am. And I listen to your podcasts and I love God. And I don't always get it right, but I'm really trying. You know, something leapt in my heart because some of the time I felt I was banging my head against a brick wall. And I'll tell you, anyone who was on team at that point will know that. And there were some times that things didn't go right. But I'm telling you this, when you give your time, there will be fruit and fruit that will last. Within the life of our church, there are things that you can get involved with. There is our prayer program that you can get involved with. Our hospitality is crying out for people to get involved. Our kids, our preschool kids, our toddlers, youth, Mission Week, packs are available. Guys, get to the back and get your pack. Find out how you can be involved in this week. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You know, all this stuff is out. If you've got kids or young people, we've got the flyers at the back, okay, for those things to be happening. Get involved. Give it your time. Because I tell you something, it is incredible what happens when you give your time to God and when you allow him to do things in you. They're set up on a Sunday. The guys that rock up week in, week out to set up are incredible. There's connect groups. There's cleaning. We need cleaners in our church. We've lost our cleaner and she's not here this morning. I wanted to really thank Val for all of that she's done in the last few years. There's CAP. There's Safe Families. There's visiting people. There is 101 different ways that we can give with our time. There are so many things where your time could be used, but it's finding what excites you and seeing how you could be involved. And that brings me on to the third thing, okay, which is your talent. Where does your gifting lie? Where's your talent? Do you have something that you can do that none of us know about? We will find out. We have ways of finding out. Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30 talk about the parable of the talents. When three people were given different amounts of money. And you know what? Sometimes it's not what you're given that matters. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with what you are given that really, really matters. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says this, and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. In the message, that's what it says. We're to give those things that we're good at. We're to give those things that God has blessed us with, and we're to use them for him. Your talent is your gift to the world around you. So find a way to use it. What you are good at, and you know what, the gifts that God has given you, find a way to use it. And just as I was praying this morning, just got my iPad out and just began to add to my preach a little bit, because I really felt that for some of you in here, some of what you are good at, you've let go. And you've let lie dormant and you've kind of gone, no, someone else is better at it, or someone else can do that. Or, you know, the last time I used it, I got hurt. The last time I used my gift, someone said something negative to me. The last time I gave in this way, it didn't work out like I thought it should. You know what? Give again. Yeah. Go again. Doesn't always go right. It doesn't always go to plan. I probably have more stories of where they've gone wrong than when it's gone right. But give again. I crashed and burned the first time I preached. And probably the next X amount of times I preached, absolutely crashed and burned. I've got up and sang songs and made the tune up as I'm going along, as most of you will have heard. And then been asked to repeat the song, and I can't remember the tune that I sang it in the first place, so I sang a completely different one. The congregation were all confused. Sometimes when we give in using our giftings, using our talents, sometimes, you know what, it doesn't always work. Get up and give again. Get up and go again. Because actually, the more you do that, it's not about how you feel afterwards. It's about him. And actually, this old dear, when I sang my song twice with two different tunes, came up and said, that's so blessed me, Joe. I'm like, I have no idea how, but thank you. I think you might just be being nice. But that's so blessed me. And you never know. Do you know what? Even when we get it wrong, somebody may be affected by what we do. And I just felt to say this morning, maybe some of you have decided, I'm not going to do that again. Don't ever close the lid on what God has given you, on the talent that he has given you. Don't ever say, I ain't doing that again. Shut the door on that one because of X, Y, and Z. Do you know what? Let's deal with X, Y, and Z and then go again. So this morning, I want to challenge us. It's not about choosing which way to give. It's not about choosing which box to tick. It's about finding out how we give in every way mentioned. It's not about I've ticked that box. I give my time, so I don't need to give in any other way. Do you know what? It's not about ticking a box. It's about loving God and loving the community that we belong to. The Bible says this, and this is the verse your children are learning throughout the whole of this month if they are in our kids program. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Do you know what? God loved, so he gave. And God still loves and he still gives in every way. And he calls us to be like him. The thing about being a Christian is about we're meant to be followers of Christ. We're meant to become like him. And God is a giver. He is a giving God. And this morning, I want to challenge us and inspire us, hopefully, not to just tick a box, but to actually begin to give extravagantly. It's not about giving the bare minimum. That's what I love about the story of Abraham. Abraham didn't have to give. No one had done the preach. It was just an overflow of his heart. And this morning, how is your heart overflowing in what you are giving or how you are?